All right, and we are listening to Just a Little Bit. This is off of a new album not yet released by the band Marbin. They're performing tonight at Steve's Guitars, and I'm joined in studio by Danny Markovich and Danny Rabin.
That's right.
How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Very good.
Just drove into town, straight here.
And so you were just telling me that album making for your sort of jazz fusion rock style genre is different than it is for, you know, your typical pop bands.
Yeah.
And where those are mostly touring to promote songs, you're making albums at the end of long tours to sort of make a version of the song that you've been practicing all the while.
Yeah, it's a conclusion, you know. So when you're playing a lot of improvised music, I mean, you know, we're not improvising the song, the melody of the song's written, but our solos are improvised, and the way we accompany and the way we play the melodies, that's kind of in a very liquid kind of state. And every night we play it very differently, and it goes different directions. So after you do it a few hundred times, to us, making a record is just, you know, deciding it's like, okay, this is, you know, the best we can do with it, and then we're kind of done with it. So even the new record, Strong Thing, it's coming out in December, already our shows, you know, if you go see them now, are almost entirely the one that's going to be following, because that's what we're working out. And
wow. So the songs you'll play tonight aren't from the new album, but the
new
album.
Yeah.
Yet to come.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, you got to keep yourself in a, you know, in a place where you're being challenged to play interesting things. You know, it's, nobody wants to see.
Well, once a comedian has a special, you don't want to go to his show and, oh, hell show, and just hear the same jokes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, there has to be kind of an element of, I don't know, some sort of process or danger or excitement in the music.
Well, especially with jazz fusion, where there is a lot of improvisation,
yeah,
a lot of discovery. And you guys have played here before in Carbondale?
Yeah, we've been here a bunch of times, but like in the early days of the band. Like we haven't been here since, I think, 2013. But before that, we were there four or five times.
Carbondale Beer Works.
Yeah, okay. We did the Beer Works consistently.
And so people who might have seen you then and come tonight, they'll notice perhaps a certain progression in your style.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I hope so. Maybe we're exactly the same and we're just tripping.
I noticed on this album there's some interesting titles of songs, and I was curious what your process is for naming songs. This one that we just played is called Just a Little Bit.
Just a Little Bit. Well, we name songs to commemorate these crazy nights we have with crazy people. That's basically 100% of what we do, because we do tour a lot, like 200 days a year. And when you do that, you get to see a lot of people do a lot of crazy things. Just a little bit. Where was this? In
Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, we were playing in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And we were hanging out in this bar called Mahoney's Pub. Mahoney's Bar or something, and it was like 5 p.m. on a Sunday, and me and Danny were sitting on this bar, right, and we're just talking to the bartender, and all of a sudden, like, we hear this sound. It's like so violent, right, so like loud, and all the liquor just falls like off the shelf in front of us, like a glass is smashing, and like we look back, and there's no wall, there's no doorway, like everything's just been shaved off this place, like Mahoney's Bar just became like Mahoney's Patio. And then we hear like a second crash. Whoa. And we run outside, and this like truck just ran through the venue.
Oh.
And just like ended up at like 45 degrees against an electric pole, like the front wheels are like still spinning, right? And we run out there and we look inside, and there's the dude that wasn't wearing a seatbelt. So he flew from the driver's seat to the passenger seat. He has like a gash on his head, and we're looking and we're like, dude, are you okay? And he comes to and he looks at us and he jumps back in the driver's seat and he tries to like floor it to get away or something. But like, you know, the car's dead. Like the back wheels are just like, you know, like not going anywhere. Anyway, the paramedics like get there and the cops, and they put him on a stretcher and they're wheeling him out of the car. And they look at him and the cops come up to him and they're like, sir, did you have anything to drink? And he looks at him, he's like, just a little bit. So yeah, we name a song Just a Little Bit.
It's such a peaceful song. Yeah. I mean, the melodies.
Well, it's story. Not directly related, to be honest. Right. We kind of like...
We write the songs and we give them stupid names.
Yeah, that's what we do.
That's a good one.
No, it's not like we sit there and we're like, well, what does the crash mean?
Yeah. Well, I like to picture that whole situation, the bar falling apart and this guy crashing to that song. I think
that's kind of an amazing thing about imagination.
Right.
You know, you can kind of...
You can connect it.
You can connect things in your mind. But yeah, it's not... We write melodies that are good to us, but all instrumental music, I think all good instrumental music is abstract in that sense that it doesn't have... Like once you... Even if you, as a writer, keep a narrative in your mind while you're fishing for melodies out of your imagination, those connections are not objective. You know, mm-hmm. you're just imagining things and doing your best at writing melodies, unless you go for big, obvious things, right?
It's also nice for us because when people review the albums, they attribute what they think about the name to the song. Mm-hmm. Right? So like you said, they think Just a Little Bit, they think about the slow song and how it's most powerful, most for music. So they would write something about that, and it's really... Again, but the guy eating shit in Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, Messy Mark happened in where?
We actually had the conversation here. So
we were
in Netherlands, and our rhythm section stole. We stayed with this guy. You want to tell him that story? Or?
Well, I mean, it was intense. I don't know. So that's the first song. I'm also not sure if we can. Like, is this guy gonna come murder us?
Us, it's not us. We didn't do it.
That's right. We didn't do it.
We didn't even smoke weed back when we were young. How funny is that?
That's true.
Okay. You guys mind if I put it on lightly underneath your telling of the story?
Yeah. Okay, so this is Messy Mark. Yeah. So this, what year was this? 2012?
Yeah, right? Same thing.
Something like
12,
that.
13.
Anyway, we were playing, we were driving up to Netherland, Colorado.
Okay.
And close Netherland. By. Yeah, not too far. So playing a show in the middle of winter, and we get to the Whistler Bar. I don't know if you know that place or if it's still there.
Whistler Cafe, I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
I've been to one Frozen Dead Men Days.
Yeah, exactly. So we
probably wandered through there.
We actually missed, we got invited to play a festival, which we didn't get invited to do any festival back in the day, and we had to
cancel
it because of this.
Because of this story, yeah. So anyways, we're like on stage and, we're playing a set. There's like two guys in the room. One of them is a skinny hippie guy who keeps running outside picking up like these little rocks from the ground, trying to like trade them in at the merch table for CDs. And the other guy's like really, his name was Messy Mark, right? And he was like real, real weird looking. Like he had like a shoulder bone that was like sticking out of his body. You could see like the top of his actual bone. It was like creepy. And we take a set break and I'm looking outside, you know, through this glass window onto the porch or balcony or patio they call it. And our bassist and drummer at the time are just both like leaning over and licking something from this guy's hands. Just like licking his hand. I'm like, what's going on? So I go out there, I'm like, what are you guys doing? And you know, they introduced me to the guy. They're like, this is Messy Mark. And he has some ground up mushrooms, and they're like licking mushrooms out of his hands. And we get back up to play our second set, and you know, we took a long break, and our bassist is just completely frozen. Like, all he can do is just shake his head.
He couldn't open the door. Yeah, that's how bad he was.
Yeah, he never tripped before. And he's just, and all he's saying is like, hell no, hell no, hell no, hell no. Like, dude, are you okay? Hell no. Can you play? Hell no. We're like, damn. So we start like, you know, packing up all of our stuff, right? And we load it in the van, and Messy Mark's like, you know, do you guys need a place to crash? And I'm like, sure, good idea. So we start following him, right? And we get to his like little area, and it's like real weird looking. Like he has like a little house. It's snowing real bad. There's a trailer outside too, and he has like a dog tied to a post. And he takes off like a metal chain, starts walking this Rottweiler towards us. And he goes like, she's nice, and she's not nice. She's
Daisy.
Like, yeah, her name's Daisy. She's freaking out. Like the person next to me is like tripping really hard. So he's like, I don't know what kind of demon he's visualizing, but it's scaring him a lot, and it's not very far off from what's actually happening. And, you know, he's like, okay, rhythm section guys, you stay in the house. Like you and like me and Danny, like stay in the trailer, and he opens up the trailer for us, you know, and it's just packed with garbage, right? Up to our eyeballs, just like Wendy's bags and shit. Looks like the, you know, like DuckTales, like instead of gold, like, you know, garbage. And we're just like, oh, screw it. Like, we can do it. Like, you know, we're like climbing over all this trash, to, like this bed, unearthing this bed, and we're like trying to crash, but we can't crash in there because he doesn't have heat. It's like 20 degrees. We're just like sitting there shivering. Like, okay, we can't do this. We're going in the van. So we go in the van, we crank the heat, and we go to sleep, right? And it's like 4:30 in the morning, and our rhythm section just starts taking off running from Messy Mark's house. And they get in the van, they like slam the doors, they floor it, and we're like flying through the mountains, right? And they're like, go, go, go. And that's how we wake up. We're like, what happened? And then we saw that those two idiots like stole this like pound bag of weed from this guy who I guess is a massive drug dealer, so they're no longer with us. That's Messy Mark.
I'll tell you the end of the story because we never tell it. We were in Carbondale, and a fan of ours, Hill, gave us a house to stay in. It was an amazing house. And we were pulling up to the house, and all of a sudden, our drummer has a call, and it's Messy Mark. Oh. And he's calling him, and he's like, started screaming at him, you motherfucker.
Oh. Yeah, sure.
Like, yeah, you stole my, I let you in my house, and you stole my shit. It's like, fuck. Like, no. Going nuts, right? nuts. And our drummer, at the time, went like, I would never do it to you. You're like a brother. You let me in. I would dare you blame me. It's like, I'm so offended. And Messy Mark relaxed and was like, oh, okay, sorry. Just
people I've been burnt before.
You know, people have done me wrong before. I have cameras. It's all good.
I'll just check the cameras.
And that's the last thing we ever heard from him.
So Messy Mark, if you're out there, if you're listening.
Yeah. Well, it's not Obama anymore.
That's
this
right.
This song is for you. It's to you. Well, so you guys are actually one of two bands from Illinois playing tonight.
From Chi-Town.
Well, Steve
at
is
Steve's guitar.
Yeah, I think Steve double booked it, but made it right.
So. He made it right immediately. So, props to Steve.
Yeah. You guys start at 8, and that's
sharp.
The North 41 starts at 10.
That's right.
So it's going to be a
but
huge
but we're not talking about them. We're promoting us.
Music.
No. If you got to choose one, you know who you're going to see.
Both, at least. So could you tell us a little bit more about the name Marvin? Where does that come from?
Markovich Rabin. So that's Danny Markovich.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, since we write all the music and
so it started
solo.
With just the two of you guys.
Yeah, yeah. We do all the writing and manage the band. We hire the other people.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And you told me earlier that you're on day 36 of your tour.
Yeah, and we already did 36 shows.
Yeah, so it's a 44-day tour with 45 shows. So we haven't had a night off in a long time.
It's actually even more than that because we did some clinics and we played Good Morning San Diego.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So. For hippies listening, clinics are master classes. In the jazz world, they call them clinics, but I think because of STDs, people don't like that term.
So we call it a workshop.
Makes them think about rehab or, yeah.
And how many more shows do you have left on this tour?
Well, that's math. So
yeah, it's a math question.
If
it's not fair.
So we have like nine, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. So you're making your way home at this point.
Yeah, we just played Mystic Hot Springs in Utah.
Okay.
Last night, you know what that is? It's like in Monroe,
Oh my
Utah.
God, that was so trippy. Never had a show like that before.
It's at basically this deadhead who, he's in a Mormon town, 500 people in the town. He's the only guy that's not Mormon. He's Jewish. And he basically books a lot of known bands in the circuit to just come, and you get there and it's basically
let me explain it because I do the business stuff, so I always negotiate deals and stuff, and we go in and we're looking around and there's no, it doesn't sell alcohol
or food,
and then I was like, wait, the show is free. Like, there's no, it doesn't cost money to go
in. He doesn't even have the potential to earn money, no matter what he does, at his venue.
And it's basically, he put a venue in his living room, mm-hmm. and he hires bands to play for him.
Yeah, he just sits there
room.
And he runs down. Whoever wants to come in comes in, and there's like a few people, because everybody's Mormon.
Yeah.
You know, so like the few like lost souls that like live in that town. And
like 10 people or something. And
then
sometimes
they occasionally come. And a lot of times like these bands play for just him. And he's completely like, it's not that he expects anybody. He doesn't care. He just wants to listen to the music. It's literally paying for concerts.
You know,
it's crazy.
We had a show of bad shows before. This wasn't bad. I'm just saying we had a show of bad shows. And there is this panic in the air when...
The venue owner starts
when you need to start at 8:30 And the room's like empty. The room has like five people in, totally empty.
And the venue owner's like walking around.
Like, what's going on? Oh my God. Bills. I promised him money. I did that. It's like,
none of that. This guy's totally happy. He's like, this is what this is. So I, after that, and he has like natural hot springs outside, like little baths under the stars.
Amazing.
And you could see every star in the sky. It's incredible.
Wow.
So yeah.
Amazing show.
It's on the side of a mountain. It's great.
Yeah. If you want to be like the only other guy except for the venue owner at a show, where known bands play,
let him know.
Yeah,
like we knew, like
90% of, like the 90% bands, of the bands there.
Played well.
All right, well, Danny Makovich and Danny Rabin,
yeah,
thank you guys so much for stopping by. Express Yourself, sure. Playing at Steve's tonight. Maybe a story that comes out of this will end up on your next. Yeah, we also tell album.
Only if you stab Danny right now.
We also tell. We also tell some stories.
Yeah, we tell stories at the show too of the new songs.
Okay.
So.
Well, next up, I think we'll just go out with the title track from your new album called Strong Thing.
Strong Thing.
Do you want to tell that story real quick while we start it up?
It's not very quick, but
I can start telling it over it. We were playing in Paducah, Kentucky, in Paducah Beer Works. And, you know, I guess every place has a beer works. But we get done with the show, and I'm looking at the merch table. And there's a guy there, and he looks like a wizard, right? He's dressed up like a wizard. Like, he has a wizard hat, green shoes, a cloak, a staff, right? And, you know, he looks like Gandalf, if Gandalf did, like, less magic and more meth. And he's looking me right in the eye. And I'm like, sweet, we have wizard fans. That's cool. And, you know, I go there, and I talk to him. Immediately, I find out that we have wizard trolls. He hated the show, and he posted up there just to tell me about it. So I'm just asking him, like, hey, let me know if you have any questions. I mean, about the merch, right? And he goes, yeah, I got a question. You guys said you played songs. Songs have lyrics. And I'm like, okay, let's have a debate, right? So I'm like, you know, what about songbirds? And he's like, what? He's like, you know, songbirds sing songs. They don't have any lyrics. And it's like, and I'm like, yeah, like logic point one, Marvin, wizard zero. And I keep going. I'm pressing him. I'm like, you know, what about songs in Chinese? And he's like, that's a language. Like, but you don't speak it. If you heard it on the radio and you thought it was Chinese, turns out to be mumbling. So I thought it was going in for logic point number two. But the real moral of the story is that you shouldn't debate people who dress up like wizards because they're unstable. So he just starts charging, trying to attack me with this wizard staff, right? Just like waving this thing. And I'm like running away. And I went to hang out in the patio. And I'm hanging out there. He's inside. It's fine. 20 minutes go by. And he comes outside. And he's like really angry still. And, you know, he goes to his own car in the parking lot. Now, I could tell it's his car. It's like crazy looking. Clearly the dude's car looks like a wizard chariot, like tie-dye color canoe on the top of it. And anyways, he you know, he looks at me and he's like, hey man. And then he just like starts bashing his own car with the wizard staff, not putting little dents, putting holes, smashing glass, just destroying his vehicle, freaking out, right? And the bouncer's looking at him and he's like, oh my God, like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing to your own vehicle? And he turns around and he goes, it's called A Strong Thing. So we named the song Strong Thing.